Jesus' name, we come now. And Lord, as your word comes forth, God, let us just be yielded. Lord, thank you, God, that it's you and you alone. You're the one that does the work. You're the one that gives the increase. Lord, it's all from the hand of God. And thank you that you're so willing, exceeding abundantly. You gave it all. God, open our hearts. As the little bird opens the mouth to receive, open our hearts. Let us receive this today. Let us grow in gratitude and thanksgiving for your love and your care. And the truth, praise the Lord, the truth that we have because of you. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to need to grab a Kleenex here. So, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, God. I almost couldn't contain it there as brother was playing, and I think the Christ in me broke him up a little bit, the Christ in him. So, but we're not sorry for those things, are we? Praise the Lord. I thank God. I tell you, to shed those tears now, because it's going to be just joy and rejoicing over there. He's bottled all of them up. And I'm thankful these are tears of love. But before we begin today, too, I just want to tell you something. March 27th marked 15 years that the Lord given me the greatest privilege of my life to be your pastor. So I thank the Lord. And I guess we can say, I pray we can. Time flies when we're having fun, huh? Praise God. I always remember some of those early days. My sweetheart knows many times that Brother Hill used to say, you don't know how many times I had my bags packed in the car and told Fern, I'm going. Actually, he didn't even tell her, but he was going. And God stopped him. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Christ. Amen. And it is. It's been the joy of my life. It's been the joy of my life. And I thank God for it. So may his love constrain us this morning. They told me to keep still up here because, you know, the camera's kind of close. So if you see me run back and forth, well, you know what's going on. So we thank God for it. Well, let's open our Bibles. We'll begin today in John. We'll be venturing around some beautiful places in Scripture this morning. But in John chapter 3 specifically, I was thinking how precious God is and so abundantly faithful, Brother Bob playing in the song he sang, so woven perfectly with God's message today. And he says in John chapter 3, verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So you see here, Jesus didn't come to change the world. Jesus came to save souls in the world. Go on over to John chapter 17 and verses 8 and 9. Jesus says there, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So Jesus did not come to the earth to save the earth. He came to save the souls of all who would believe in him. He didn't come to make the world a better place. He came to die. And he came to deliver and bring many sons to glory. Read from verse 24 of chapter 17. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, Abraham, he showed us, and through his testimony, it says that we do not have a continuing city here. We don't have a continuing city here. But Abraham, because of the grace of God that touched his heart, he sought a continuing city to come, not made with man's hands, but whose builder and maker is God. As Jesus told his disciples, John chapter 14, reading from verses 2 and 3. That's John 14, verses 2 and 3. Jesus told those disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Brothers and sisters, oh, what he is preparing for us. Oh, I rejoice. What he's preparing for us. And I'm talking about us because, praise be to God, in this time of great grace, we've been given that wonderful message, the very hidden mysteries, the mysteries of the Word of God. Through the Apostle Paul, they've been made known to us. Those hidden mysteries, time and time again. And we speak on this because God tells us, "Give the more earnest heed to the things which ye have heard, lest at any time ye should let them slip." Let me tell you something. This truth is so valuable, it's so infinite and immense, we better stay with it. And you think about the Lord, again, telling us over and over through Paul's epistles. Paul says, "The mystery that's been made known unto me." Paul even said, with that revelation that was made known unto him, the Lord had to send him a messenger of Satan to buffet him because the immensity of that truth, and we're talking about the bride for the Lamb, the immensity of it, the offering of it, was so incredible that Paul is just a man. And the Lord knew that because of such revelation, Paul might be lifted up. But yet God in his faithfulness sent him that messenger of Satan to give him a thorn in the flesh so it would keep him weak and keep him lowly and keep him in that wonderful place. Lord, it's all because of your mercy. Thank you, God. Now, with that and the revelation, praise God, of the mystery that was given to Paul, we can go back into the Old Testament. And as again it says multiple times in Paul's epistles, it says that those Old Testament prophets, that they wrote those things for us, that they wanted to look into those things that they were writing for us. They wanted to see that hidden mystery that was within those stories, wondrous faithfulness stories of God. They wanted to see that mystery. But Paul says it multiple times. They wrote those things for us. The sons of men, the prophets, the angels, they wanted to look into those things. But it wasn't for them. But now it has been made fully known. So here we go, and we can go back into the Old Testament. And by the grace of God, just receiving the things on the surface are so incredible. Amazing. But then by knowing Paul's gospel, we know that there's depth of meaning. There was type and shadow. There were metaphors in there that were meant for us. From the very beginning, you think of even Adam and Eve. A precious story of creation. A precious story that it wasn't good for man to live alone. But if you take Paul's gospel and that mystery, you begin to understand this wasn't about Adam the man. This was about the last man, Adam, our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That it wasn't good for him to live alone, that he would have a wife. And so we see that in Scripture, Adam was made by just taking up dust and God breathed into it. And there was his life. But with Eve, that wife, she was not made that way. It was different. She was taken out of Adam. She was taken out of Adam. God said he put a sleep on Adam. Now let me tell you something. God's such a surgeon, he doesn't need anesthesia. He doesn't need to put you to sleep to do something. There was something far more that he was talking about. And if you know the word of God and if you know Paul's gospel, you know that there's a 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and a chapter 5. And it's talking about the state of the world that we're in right now. We're talking the Christian world. Christians are asleep. They're asleep like Adam was asleep. And out from that slumber, there will be ones that are alive and awakened, that are not slumbering in their night. They're looking and loving the appearing, as Paul said about his crown of righteousness. He said, not unto me only, but unto all those also that love his appearing. Thank God that we can be of those that are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord. As Paul was looking for that appearing, he lived for that appearing. And this is exactly as we see in that type and shadow and metaphor of Adam and Eve, that sleep was upon him like the sleep is on the church today. And that bride will be taken from that little rib portion, the place closest to the heart. And God will form a body, a whole body from a rib, from a little portion. He'll make the bride for his son. Praise God. How clear that is to those that know the mysteries that Paul was speaking of. And yet they're not hard to understand. As Peter said, only for those that wrestle with scriptures that are unlearned, but you don't have to be unlearned. If you're unlearned, that's your choice. God said, he that wills to know will know of this gospel, but to apply yourself to it. By the grace of God, I hope that every Christian would be like an Apollos. Apollos was a mighty man in God. He could speak and give great messages. People loved to hear him speak the word of God, and he had a heart for God. But when God sent him Paul's gospel through that little couple, Priscilla and Aquila, he didn't say, what could you teach me? Or I've got a big flock, or I've got a big church, or who are you with God? He yielded himself to the truth. He allowed humbleness to overcome him. Thankfulness to God, and understand that there was more in the truth. And it says that they led him into a way more perfectly, a way more complete. And that's how it is with Paul's gospel. He's given the gospel that fulfills the word. Look at that in Colossians chapter 1. It's perfect. It's seamless. Once again, I've said it many times, you have to deny it. Deny it. Because it's so clear to the light. But then you come to different places like Genesis chapter 24. That's a wonderful portion of scripture. The bride for Isaac. How marvelous that is in thinking how God has given us such testimony. The mysteries that are embedded in the Old Testament stories. Time and time again, what you'll find is it's always about a wedding. It's always about a courtship. It's always about this love. It's always about this one. This one that has to be had. And so here we have in Genesis 24, which follows the ancient Jewish way of courtship. The master, Abraham, he knew his son needed a wife. So he brought forth his servant to go into his people. See, that's the thing that we really have to understand. Abraham didn't send his servant out to the world to find a wife for his son Isaac. Abraham sent his servant to his people to find the bride for his son. See, that bride is coming out of his people. So wonderfully here, even in tradition of that ancient Jewish courtship, the father would come forth and tell the village, his people, my son now will have a bride. It wasn't for the son to choose who the bride would be. He would just be offered in marriage. It was for one of the women of the people to come forward and say, I want him. I want him. At that moment, she would come forth. They would actually sign the wedding agreement. The marriage was done. It was consummated. See, that's what happens when you begin to hear Paul's gospel. You take that. and you believe in that bridal calling for your life, that there is a love that is beyond just the love of a friend, the love of a father. There's a love of a bridegroom. And you accept that and you take that and you, and at that moment, that contract was signed. But see, that man then would not just take her and go away. He would go away. He would go away to prepare a house, prepare a place where they would live. Sometimes it would be months, sometimes it would even be years. But he would return for her. He would come to get her when it was done, when all of this is ready. And that's exactly what the Lord's done for us. Oh, yes. But he didn't just go to prepare a place. See, this is our God, and he's a God of exceeding abundantly. He went to prepare, but he also went to give us more. He went to the right hand of the Father as he told the disciples, I've got to go, not only to prepare, but I've got to send you something. And I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. He's been with you and he shall be in you. And you'll have power once he comes in your life. And that power, what you'll receive from him, is he'll guide you into all truth. He'll shed love abroad in your heart. And here it is. He'll reveal the things to come. He'll reveal the things to come. See, the Lord doesn't want you arriving in heaven wondering, well, what will be? What is it going to be? I don't go that way with God. I took the Holy Ghost into my life, praise God. That infilling, that power. And in that knowledge, I'm not going there, what will it be? I'm going there expecting what will be. Oh man, people say, well, that's a pretty bold thought. Well, I've got a bold God. And I've got a bold God who's so in love with me, and I believe his promises that he doesn't want me to stay a child. He wants me to grow up and to be a son, a full-grown son that converses and knows the ways of the kingdom and the ways of ruling. And that's what's so important, and it's a truth. God will meet you with the faith that you will meet him with. Amen. That is why the word is so important. It is impossible to grow in faith. It's impossible to grow in faith without the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, only by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It cannot come any other way. It cannot come any other way. It doesn't come by you being good. It doesn't come by thinking that you're joining something, been baptized in some tank, or whatever it may be. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why I love the Apostle Paul. He said, I withheld nothing from you. I gave you the whole counsel everywhere I went. I preached the same message. It wasn't about crowds. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about buildings. It was about that little few of gold, silver, and precious stones that wants to grow up into the Lord in all things. Now, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. The Lord showed us that in Scripture over and over. God's got it there for you. By faith, take it. Yes, amen. He hasn't brought us to a place that he hasn't provided all the faith for us to take and walk through. Oh, yes. See, that was the difference about them 12 spies. See, they had heard about this promise. Man, they'd heard about that promise probably knee-high to a grasshopper. They were talking about God's going to deliver us out of Egypt. And God's going to give us this promised land. And God's going to have all of these things for us. And God showed them with mighty plagues. He showed them with his word. And God was true to his word. How could all of those millions of Jews finally exit Egypt like they did? And they exited not just across a sea. It was a sea that parted, and it was upon dry ground. You know, they have that thing, you know, where they show them like there were big bumps and it was hard to get the coaches over and all. I'm telling you what, that thing was better than any runway there's ever been made. I'm confident. It was downhill all the way, just a gradual, so it'd be easy and not too fast. That's how God does this. Now, he took them out. He showed them these things. Then he brings them to that place. They could have walked right into that promised land. 40 years they walk around it. Walk around it. Walk around it. They send them 12 spies in to go see it. 12 men of God. And only two come back. And say, it's ours. Not let's take it tomorrow. Let's take it now. Now. Oh, the others said, well, there's giants in the land. I'm sure Caleb said, good. Just more of God's proving for us. That's your life. There's giants in the land, but my goodness, God put them there. Be like the mighty men of God, that the mighty men of David. They were weeping when there were no more giants to slay. You got to get a little kooky in the truth or you're going to miss it. Amen. Paul did. He said, man, I glory in my infirmities. How about you? Amen. Praise God. But see, God will always meet you with the faith that you meet him with. If you like serving down here, I'll tell you what. He's got a place for you up there. Exact place. Perfect. He's got a company. You like serving here, he'll have a palm right there for you. Seventh chapter of Revelation. Matter of fact, it's known as the innumerable multitude. The biggest company ever seen in heaven. And they're waving palms singing salvation to our God. And they're happy. Oh, they're happy. But I'll tell you what, if you will have the faith to believe as Paul starts to bring out in Romans 8, 17, not only an heir of God, honey, but I want you to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. I want you to be glorified together with him. So instead of looking for a palm, the Lord has given you a message which is a crown. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Is that what you look at when you see the word of God? You see Paul's gospel and that is your crown? Or is it something you've just set aside and say, oh no, I just want to go serve. Well, I'll tell you what, I listened very closely to Jesus. And I'm thankful as he testified to us. Martha, you're encumbered with many things. Don't you touch my Mary. She's got the crown in her hand. She's got my feet. Now, we praise God for these things. Once again, Lord, help us just to receive it. You want that crown? You don't have to be in that seventh chapter of Revelation in the innumerable multitude. You want that crown? You'll find yourself in Revelation chapter 4 in a company known as the four living ones in the midst of the throne with crowns of glory, ruling and reigning, giving him thanksgiving, praise, and glory. Well, I'll tell you what, I want it all. I want it all. If you joined on Wednesday night, last Wednesday night Bible study, Ephesians 1:3. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. He hath blessed me. I got them. I've got it all. The last thing then I want to do with a God that has given me everything. Everything is to make vain that grace. Why would I want to make vain that grace in my life? Emptiness. Oh my goodness. Lord, I want to take all that grace. I want to receive all that mercy. And by the grace of God, I'll tell you what. I'm going to live that faith. I'm going to trust him in his faithfulness. See, my faith is in the faithfulness of God. My faith is not in Jesse. I don't call it Jesse's faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. See, Jesus lives in me, and that's my faith. Hallelujah. And I thank the Lord. I have a hard time believing. I know Jesus doesn't. And I know Christ in me, praise God, can do all things. He strengthens me to do all things. And that's the word of God. It's not me just being cheerful or, well, I'm just going to go ahead and try to pump it up in my life. My goodness, just read the word of God and receive it. Just believe the word of God and begin to have enlarged steps. You'll walk right on over all of these things around here. But I thank the Lord how sweetly he comes in and he gives you that peace that passes all understanding. I stress this time and time again that we've got it all. I think about those disciples daily. There, what testimony God gave to us again. The mysteries that were hidden there. Even as Jesus is dealing with those disciples. He's getting ready to go. He's getting ready to be crucified. He had been with them for 3.5 years. Day and night, they heard him. They touched him. They laid their head on his breast. But yet he says to them, "My friends, my friends, but I have so many more things to say unto you. That's why I'm going. I love you. I want you to understand these mysteries. I have these things for you to see, more depth, more power. And I'm going to go, and I'm going to send you the Comforter. And I'll tell you what, he's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to take that love and he's going to shed it abroad in your heart. And honey, he's going to reveal to you the things to come." Praise God. They were having a hard time after they'd been with him for 3.5 years. They didn't even really receive that he was going to go get on that cross and die. And he'd been telling them over and over. And here now they received the power of the Holy Ghost. Not just to know that he had died and rose again and ascended, but praise be to God that he was going to reveal to them the things to come. Now, here we go. This is a most precious time that we have right here. It's most precious. And I'm talking about right now. See, God has got this world at a standstill. This is great grace. Those that will to know will know. I'm God, he's saying. I am that I am. I'm never changing. And he's right there pointing to him, the word. And he's telling us Christians, know my plan for you. Set your heart's affections on the things above. Know the truth to be filled with all the fullness of God. Not just salvation, but salvation with eternal glory. Don't just settle in on being an heir of God. That's a wonderful thing. But come on, love me, love me. I want you to be a joint heir together with me. But see, brothers and sisters, that takes not being distracted. That takes, praise God, just really believing who is our identity. Who are we? Well, I'll tell you what, we're sons of God. We're born of God. Our citizenship is in heaven. Hallelujah. We're even seated together with him. Our home is above. But we get a little bit blurry. We get a little bit blurry when we're entangled with the things and the affairs of this life. And I can tell you what the real problem with this world is and why it's in the shape it's in. Romans 1 tells us very clearly, Romans 1:25. It says that they worship the creation more than the creator. They worship the creation more than the creator. They're worshiping things down here. We worship now animals. We worship trees. We worship the air. We worship this planet. We worship natural men. And when that overtakes mankind, here are the symptoms. They're thankless. They're faithless. They're godless. They're bitter. They're angry. And they become devouring wolves. We had better get back to worshiping God. We had better get back to worshiping God. Because time truly is running out. And I do have news for everybody. And I pray they'll share this with everybody. Because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You'll find that out in about the first 30 seconds around here. We're not ashamed of it. We're bold by the grace of God and his love and his power and his truth. But I got news for you. This world, this earth is going to pass away. We're taking more care of this world than we are souls. The only thing that's going to abide forever is the Word of God. The Word of God assures us. If you believe the Word of God, he says, heaven and earth are going to pass away. I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth. I don't think that's hard for God. Matter of fact, if he's the one that spoke everything into existence, which he did, I think a new heaven and a new earth ain't hard for God. Matter of fact, and I know he don't lie. So I am thankful to the Lord. The only thing I'm counting on to abide forever is the word. And in that, I can only encourage myself and all of us, brothers and sisters, fight in faith. Fight in faith. Live by faith and not by sight. Call those things which be not as though they were. Trust God. They mocked Noah building that ark for over 100 years. They walked by, called him a fool. God said he's going to flood the earth. There hadn't even been rain yet. How is he going to flood this earth? Well, Noah didn't ask that. God said, I'm going to flood it. Noah didn't think, well, is it going to be this way, that way? He said, no, I'm just going to build this ark. God said that. Is that how you're living your life? That, you know, God said this. It's something to contemplate about. Let me go think about it. Let me tell you something. That time will be gone. When the Lord's dealing with you like he's dealing with you right now, take it. Take it. You got a stiff neck, let me tell you something. Let him just soften it up before it's going to break. Oh my. It's time. It's time. We better get back to worshiping God. But see, I think there's so many Christians trying to live a practical life. I've said it many times over. Why would I waste my time living a practical life? I'm a son of God. I should be living a spiritual, supernatural life. People come at me and say, well, you know, you got natural things and all of this. Let me tell you something. God's got it. Once God's got it, it's supernatural. When he touches it, let me tell you. And plus, I've got all the blessings from above. So, I implore us, brothers and sisters. I believe by the grace of God, it's time to step on over into complete faith. Amen. I believe it is. How about complete faith? How about stepping over into complete believing? How about really believing as Job did? Though he slay me, will I trust him? That I will not fear what man can do unto me. There is no weapon formed against me that can prosper. And I love it that the hearts of the kings know this. The hearts of your boss. The hearts of your teacher, kids. They're in his hand. And he moves them just like he moves the rivers. Oh, yeah, I love that. I know that there's horses and chariots of fire around me. I know by the grace of God, I'm the apple of his eye. He likes me to remind him that too. I'm the apple of your eye. You love me. That's all right. Thank you, God. I'm in the cleft of the rock. I got two hands upon me. I'm in the sons and the sons and the fathers. And thanks be to God, I'm not going nowhere. He's got me, and he's for me, and praise be to God, I'm in these everlasting arms. So as we close today, I am encouraged. I am encouraged, and I'll tell you what, if you're encouraged in the Lord, the one thing the Lord will do when he gives you opportunity, you'll encourage others in the Lord. You won't sit there like a bump in the log, a bump on a log, an icy back in a pew. Mossy backs, as they say. You sat there so long and sat there so still, moss grew up on you. My goodness, it's time to shake it out. And it's time, by the grace of God, we become the violent warriors. Not just warriors, but violent warriors. Don't let that scare you. It says that the violent take heaven by force. I think taking heaven is a good thing, and I want to take it by force. And you know how you get violent in the Lord? You take grace. You fight in mercy. Thank you, Jesus. You stand on the promises of God. This isn't a time, brothers and sisters, to withdraw. This is the time to press in. This is not the time to faint. This is the time to stir up the gift that lies within you. I appreciate it on Friday night there with Precious Ty. Fan the flames of the power of heaven. Ignite it. Light it up. But fan them flames. My goodness, I believe this. God's precious people, we've been sitting on our hands too long. I'm not telling you to lift your hands. I'm saying you better lift your hands to God. Oh, I'm thankful to Jesus. Moses knew it. When there was a good battle to fight, woo, the hands went up. And those that loved the Lord and loved the gospel. They came and lifted the hands together. Praise his name. It's time to lift up our voice to God. I want to be singing songs in the night, just like Paul and Silas. I want to have that peace. I want to see them chains break off. I want to see it erupt and start to break forth. And I say this, I didn't receive the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, curled up in a ball murmuring. I received the Holy Ghost with my hands up, calling out to God, not pleading with him, thanking him, saying, Lord, I believe in this. I receive this power from you. You told me that it would be mine. And he hit me with that Holy Ghost. And it is time to stir that up. We need power in the temples of God. And that power in our homes. Begin to call out to God. Don't let it be an odd thing. Take this time right now. Let this be something that you share. The greatest sharing that you could have in your household. It's time for prayer meetings daily. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Abounding in hope by the Holy Ghost. I ask you this last thing. If I could tell you, especially in this time, I've got the thing that'll have you abounding in joy. Would you take it? Abounding in joy. Ecstatic in joy. Would you take it? Spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. And in that we say, thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this time. We glory in the Lord. There is no other glorying. We thank you again for every heart that's heard your word today. And Lord, you are our faithful God. Lord, just have us to meditate upon these things that you've brought forth. Lord, you are the God of increase. You're the God of gain. And Lord, it all comes from your word. It's there for us. Lord, let us not hesitate. Let us not draw back in unbelief. Let us press in. As sweet David, he saw that giant. He didn't step back. He ran into that giant. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. And thank you, Lord. We come in Jesus' name. The shield, the buckler, the high tower, the mighty God. And praise you, by faith our soon coming bridegroom. We give you the praise and thanksgiving this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.